Penguin Random House Audio presents No Hard Feelings, The Secret Power of Embracing Emotions at Work. Written and read by Liz Fosslien and Molly West Duffy. Hi, this is Liz. This audiobook includes a bonus PDF with humorous and informative illustrations, as well as an emotional assessment, which can be viewed on any PC or Mac computer. To our families with the greatest emotion of all, love. Chapter 1, The Future is Emotional. When Howard Schultz returned to lead Starbucks in 2008 after an eight-year hiatus, he cried. Not alone, hidden in a bathroom stall or locked in his corner office, but in front of the entire company. Daily sales figures were falling by double digits. The two CEOs who preceded Schultz had grown the company at breakneck speed, but when the recession hit in 2007, the foundations of this hastily constructed empire began to wobble. Ahead of his return, Schultz spent nights in bed, staring at the ceiling, worrying about what he would say on his first day back as CEO. He desperately wanted to reassure tens of thousands of employees that their livelihoods were not in jeopardy. But boosting morale wasn't just a strategic move. He felt personally responsible for the well-being of the people who worked at Starbucks. Schultz, who had grown up poor and watched his parents struggle to make ends meet, knew how much they depended on their jobs. When he walked on stage, he realized his employees needed to see vulnerability from the person they were trusting to fix their problems. The truth was, he felt distraught about the direction the business had taken while he was gone, and they deserved to know that. Schultz chose to lift a mask that few employees, much less CEOs, remove in front of their coworkers. Setting aside formality, he let tears roll down his cheeks. Crying can sometimes seem manipulative or calculated, but Schultz had the emotional intelligence to pair this moment of vulnerability with a reassuring follow-up. He laid out his plan for a comeback and then invited feedback from his workers. That month, Schultz was flooded with more than 5,000 appreciative emails, and by 2010, the tide had turned. Starbucks' stock price was higher than ever. Most of us vastly underestimate the size and scope of the emotional needs we bring to the office. Beyond the leader-employee relationship, emotional dynamics affect our motivation, health, communication, decision-making, and more. And yet most of us ignore those emotions. Why is it that when we think of professionalism, we immediately jump to the idea that we should suppress everything we feel? This is a book from two friends who each had to learn, somewhat painfully, the importance of acknowledging emotion at work. When we started our first jobs, we thought professionals did not fail, did not fuss, and certainly did not feel. But we soon realized this view is unrealistic and stands in the way of our sense of fulfillment and, ultimately, our success. A note about we. This book is written by two authors. You will see the first person plural for the majority of the book, except when we're telling a story, and then we'll switch into the first person and denote it by labeling the section with Liz or Molly. As a young analyst, I, Liz, had gotten a job at an economic consulting firm, a job I thought I always wanted. But long nights of staring at depositions under fluorescent lights left me increasingly anxious and depressed. I finally quit, and I had no backup plan. I took a job at Starbucks to pay the bills, and I started researching why I had been so unhappy and what I could have done to improve my mood.
Meanwhile, I, Molly, was working in a stressful job as a product manager for a startup. I woke up one morning and realized the area above my right eye was completely numb. When the sensation didn't go away after a few days, I went to a doctor. The diagnosis? Anxiety. The numbness was caused by the tension I held in my shoulders and neck. In that moment, I realized I needed a different job. I wanted to work in an office where I didn't have to bite down high levels of fear, anxiety, and frustration until they caused me physical pain. But I couldn't quit right away, and it took 6 months or so for me to find a new job. As I looked, I started reading about emotion, culture, and the workplace, because I knew what it felt like to be stuck in an unhealthy work situation. Liz continued to do the same. Our goal was to better understand our feelings. When are they useful, and when are they just noise? Can we mold them to change how we experience work? We're guessing you're listening to this book for answers to similar questions. Our shared story began in 2014 when a mutual friend set us up on a platonic blind date. We bonded immediately. We're both introverts, and we both have an irreverent sense of humor, need to wear sleep masks to get a good night's rest, and enjoy taking on creative side projects. By then, we were each working in New York. Liz had decided to move from the West Coast to take a job at Genius, a then-early-stage music media company, and I was in grad school. When we met, our shared interest in the myriad ways emotion affects work led us to start co-authoring illustrated articles on the topic. But we soon hit a stumbling block. We had never worked closely together before, which led to miscommunication. I felt that Liz was obsessing over details that no one else would notice, whereas Liz felt that I was moving too fast. Our email exchanges became more and more tense, and our projects soon stalled. Hoping to save our personal and professional relationship, we scheduled a dinner to discuss our issues in person. It was hard. Neither one of us wanted to say anything for fear of making the other person feel bad. But our differences went deeper than our perennial coffee versus tea debate and needed to be brought out into the light. And to do that, we had to overcome our instinct to pretend feelings didn't matter. Had we not already been researching emotions at work, we probably wouldn't have given so much credence to our feelings, and we never have noticed that building trust always preceded our best creative teamwork. But since we were paying attention, we noticed how much emotion affected every part of our collaboration and the rest of our professional lives, like decision-making and employee-manager communication. That's because the future of work is emotional. No scripts exist for our most difficult professional interactions. When you hear the phrase emotion at work, you might think of career milestones, job interviews, salary negotiations, and annual reviews. But you've probably felt just as intensely about day-to-day, seemingly mundane events. You're thrilled to receive an okay sign from the CEO in response to your Slack comment. And you're infuriated when a colleague interrupts you for the fifth time and you fret over whether you need to immediately reply to a work email that appears in your inbox on a Saturday evening.
The forces that compel us to ignore our emotions at work must be combated. Modern work requires an ability to effectively harness emotion, but most of us have never learned how to do this in our professional lives. As we start to recognize the importance of soft skills, we're left wondering, is it possible to be too soft? How much emotion can we express before we come across as unprofessional? What if our authentic self is overwhelmed and anxious? Should we be open about these feelings? And how does who we are, for example, our gender, race, or age, affect the answers to these questions? Suppression and avoidance might seem to be the easiest answers. Let's go back to checking our emotions at the door. But this attitude is counterproductive. Humans are emotional creatures, regardless of circumstance. By ignoring our feelings at work, we overlook important data and risk making preventable mistakes. We send emails that cause unnecessary anxiety, we fail to find work meaningful, and we burn out. We're guessing you've heard of emotional intelligence, or EQ, the ability to recognize and understand both how you and how those around you feel. You might even know that EQ is a better predictor of success in the workplace than IQ. But real achievement at work requires going one step beyond emotional intelligence. You need to learn to be reasonably emotional. This means matching how you communicate your feelings to the specific situation. To do that, you'll need emotional fluency, the capacity to productively sense emotion, and to know how and when to translate what you feel into healthy action. Note, though recent research treats gender as non-binary, most studies focus solely on differences between males and females. We discuss biological differences in a binary context, but acknowledge this leaves out some individuals and hope they are included in future research. When we talk about differences between male and female emotion and communication styles, we refer to gender as a non-biological role. A friend of ours recently lamented, "I need to give my team difficult feedback, but I have no idea how to start that conversation." When we join a company, we receive extensive training about how to schedule meetings and how to fill out expense reports, but no one tells us what to do if we're upset with a coworker or how to bounce back from a botched meeting with our boss.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?